From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the sixth in a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ as found in the Gospel of John. This message focuses on John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. The text is verse 25, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Once again, in the midst of great sorrow, Christ clearly declared his divinity. Here is another instance of the Lord Jesus using circumstances to reveal himself. As we'll see in the course of this message, Christ's power over death left no doubt that he is Jehovah, God who had life in himself and had the power to bestow life on others. Not only did he give life to the physically dead, but every time a soul is saved, we see Christ giving life to the spiritually dead. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Mark of Covenant Grace. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Here we read of the true circumcision. Note the author of it, the Lord thy God. He alone can deal effectually with our heart and take away its carnality and pollution. To make us love God with all our heart and soul is a miracle of grace which only the Holy Ghost can work. We must look to the Lord alone for this, and never be satisfied with anything short of it. Note where this circumcision is wrought. It is not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. It is the essential mark of the covenant of grace. Love to God is the indelible token of the chosen seed. By this secret seal, the election of grace is certified to the believer. We must see to it that we trust in no outward ritual, but are sealed in heart by the operation of the Holy Ghost. Note what the result is, that thou mayest live. To be carnally minded is death. In the overcoming of the flesh we find life and peace. If we mind the things of the Spirit, we shall live. Oh, that Jehovah, our God, may complete his gracious work upon our inner natures, that in the fullest and highest sense we may live unto the Lord.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the current issue is The Life of Elijah. The articles include Power Through Prayer, Called to Carmel, and Deliverance from Despondency. Also, this issue contains a missionary focus on the nation of Germany, as well as a challenge to Christian women on the widely neglected matter of modesty. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, can you be sure you're saved? How to deal with cults? And can women be pastors? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
It's easy to complain about Martha and criticize her, but that was great, great faith. If you had been here, he would not have died. But you weren't here. And when Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise," she just fell back upon the faith of every Orthodox Jew and said, "I know there's a resurrection coming. I believe that. I know he's going to rise again." And then Jesus made this wonderful statement. "Martha, the resurrection is not just an isolated future event. I am the resurrection and the life." There are two parts to that statement. The resurrection and the life. But it's one indivisible statement. Some people, many great commentators, would take the view it means I am the resurrection of the body. I am the life of the soul. Those things are true, but they are not the whole truth. I think it's better simply to say here that the Lord Jesus, because of who he is, he says that he's the giver, the sustainer of all life in his people, whether it's physical, spiritual, or eternal. And in making that statement, he touches on three great themes. The first is a revelation, and it's his claim to absolute deity. Bishop J.C. Ryle, when he made a comment on this passage of Scripture, said, "All must feel that this, I am the resurrection and the life, this is a deep saying, so deep that we see but little of it. One thing only is very plain and clear. None could use this language but one who knew and felt that he was very God. No prophet or apostle ever spoke in this way." There is a depth here, and I have to confess that having studied the passage, having read what many, many learned men have to say upon it, I come to the conclusion that we are as little infants paddling on the edge of a vast, illimitable ocean. Here we have depths that will blow the mind of the greatest intellect, the greatest scholar. Here there are things that we can only dimly perceive. We cannot enter into the depths, but we can at least fasten upon the absolute certainties of what the Lord Jesus is revealing. When he says, "I am the resurrection and the life," first and foremost, he is making the claim, "I am the possessor of life in myself." You know, it's the mark of every creature that has life that it derives its life from God. It's the mark of every created thing that its existence is a derived and a dependent existence. It's derived from God and it's dependent on the will of God. We exist because God willed that we exist. This whole universe exists because God willed that it exists. He is the one who created it. So it's the mark of creaturehood that our existence and our life is a derived and a dependent existence and life. It is the unique prerogative of God that he has life in himself. And the Lord Jesus therefore said in John chapter 5 and verse 26, "As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Now, again, there's a depth in those words that we cannot really do justice to. Jesus didn't say, "As the Father has life in himself, so the Son has life in himself." And it's very important that he did not say that, Because that way of putting things would be a sort of dualism. It would set up two, and this is a contradiction in terms, two eternal necessary beings. It would destroy the whole truth of the absolute unity of the Godhead. So he doesn't say that. Safeguarding the unity of the persons in the Trinity, he says, as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. Now here's where we tend to make a mistake. Theologians make this mistake very often. Thank God there are many who don't. Reading through the church fathers in this some time ago, and preparing an article on a related subject, I was amazed at how they struggled with language. How they battled to put in human language thoughts that are too big for human language. And how they ended up in trying to be so theologically accurate and so scientifically accurate, if I could put it that way, that they ended up talking nonsense and contradicting themselves. It's going to happen every time you try to be smarter than you are and know as much as God. But here's the truth. We tend to look at Father and Son in human terms. Now, in human terms, the Father comes before the Son. Right? I think that's always true. Some of you may look older than your fathers, but you're not. Not only does the Father come before the Son, but the Son derives his being from his Father. That's true in human terms. And so we take Father and Son, and we then impose that on God and say that's what it means. At least that's the tendency. And what we have done is to get things the wrong way around. The fatherhood and sonship that's in the Trinity is not a shadow of what we have in human terms. It's the other way around. That's the original. The human is the shadow, as it were. It's the great original. So we must go to the Bible, not to human existence or human experience. We must go to the Bible to find out what this means. And here we run into mystery. But let me tell you, any time you run out of mystery, you've missed God. Never forget that. I think there's nothing more foolish than for people to think, I must have a God who is utterly explicable to me. A God who is utterly answerable to me. When you run out of mystery, you've run out of God. Because when you can comprehend God, you put God within the circle of your intelligence and you make yourself greater than God. Can't be. Cannot be. Here we run into mystery. That in the eternity of God, there is an eternal necessary fatherhood and an eternal necessary sonship. There is an eternal necessary begetting. There is an eternal necessary being begotten. To use the language of John chapter 5 verse 26, there is an eternal and necessary giving, and there is an eternal and a necessary receiving. These are human words that struggle and certainly fail to comprehend the fullness of what is in God. But what they express is truth because they are spoken by him who is the truth. And all that to say that in the eternal Trinity of the Godhead, the Son has life in himself. I am the life. I am the life. The possessor of life in himself. Obviously, the Lord Jesus is also saying, I am the giver of life to the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the giver of life to the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is plainly claiming that he has in himself that vital power to bring the dead to life. The words cannot fail to mean that. I will not say they have no other or no fuller meaning. As I've said, I cannot do more than scratch the surface of what the Savior and his words really entailed here. But certainly they do mean this. In himself he has the vital power to give life to the dead. He alone can do that for the spiritually dead. And I'm not wandering from the subject when I say that, because the Lord Jesus himself unites these things. If you go back to John 5, in verse 24 and 5, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. Notice the now is. In other words, this is not merely future, this is something that has now already commenced. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We tend to relegate that to the future resurrection, but Jesus says, no, this is not only future, this is what is happening now. This is the order of events now. This is what we expect now. The dead hear the voice of the Son of God. Contradiction in terms? As far as human experience goes, yes, the dead hear nothing. But you see, here's the miracle and the mystery of grace. God can say, hear ye deaf, leap ye lame, live ye dead. And that's what the Savior is saying. I have the power to give life to the spiritually dead. That's what he does every time he saves a soul. When a man hears his word and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and him who sent him, he's called from death unto life. He passes out of the realm of death into the realm of life. He is taken out of condemnation. He's made right with God in justification. He's taken out of a position of enmity and made the friend of God. But most of all, most comprehensively, Jesus says, he enters into life, and it's everlasting life. I am the giver of life to the spiritually dead. Every Christian rejoices in that. Paul told the Ephesians, this is your testimony. You were dead in trespasses and sins. That's our past. In that state of spiritual death, you were dominated by the devil and the powers of darkness. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He is the resurrection. He is the life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.